Thank you, team, for sharing with us this morning. You know, it's always good to be able to be with God's people in God's house. I want to just take a moment as we start and thank you for your kindness and your generosity to us last night. I'm sure all of the pastors appreciate everything that you've done and all that you do. All the time, and we certainly want to say thank you for that. It's amazing the way that God uses His people to bring encouragement and to bring strength in the midst of very difficult, tumultuous days. And that's what the modern day church is facing. They're facing very difficult times, but God is faithful, and He is the one who is going to bring about the ultimate good, and He is the one who is going to take care of us through what's called the rapture of the church. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for Jesus to come back, except for one thing. There's too many people who still don't know Him. And there's much work that needs to be done, and we need to be busy about God's work. I'm going to ask you to please open up your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. This morning I want to briefly speak with you on the subject of how to beat the blues. Those of you who know me know that my musical preference is blues. I love the style of the blues, Texas blues, all of those styles of blues, but I don't like the blues that bring the spirit down. And sometimes we go through those things, and we just kind of need to just kind of get back to some very basic things. And so today I want to talk with us about how we can be lifted out of difficult mindsets. There's a lot of people who face sickness in their families. There's a lot of people that are facing grief because they've lost loved ones. There's a lot of things that are taking place and going on, and yet God is faithful, and He will lift us out of those areas of life if we'll pay attention to Him. Notice the 11th verse. It says this: "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, to the help of my countenance and my God." Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the help that can only come from your hands. Thank you for the hope that rests securely in you. Thank you for the peace that absolutely passes all of our understanding and gives us a chance and a reason to fight on in this grand fight against unrighteousness that you have called us to. Father, help us to be soldiers in your army that do not back down, but who press forward, who become involved deeper and deeper in you. And Lord, we'll certainly thank you. Help us to grow in our grace and in knowledge of you. And we'll give you thanks for that. For it's in your glorious and holy name we pray. Amen. There are four things that I just kind of want to share with you very quickly about how to beat the blues when the enemy begins to beat in upon you. The first thing is claim the promises of God. The second thing is reclaim the presence of God. Number three is proclaim the power of God. And then the fourth one is exclaim the praises of God. So let's look at these things for just a moment. First of all, claim the promises of God. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 4 reads like this. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. You see, God has placed before us great promises. And the amazing thing about him is he's going to be faithful. Whatever he has promised, he's going to see it through. And we can have confidence in that. For 4,000 years in the existence of man, God had promised that there was going to be a Savior. In 4,000 years, although it seemed like an eternity to mankind, God brought forth a Savior. His name is Jesus. And from that point on, since Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead and has gone back up to heaven, God has promised us that Jesus is going to come back. We can trust that promise because God has never lied. And that's not a part of his existence. That's not a part of who he is at all. And so we can rest assured that that promise is going to come true. And if that one is, every promise that God makes to us, we can trust in. Because God cannot lie. Satan, on the other hand, is a liar. And he is a deceiver. And he is the one who injects lies into our lives. And so we must push him aside and push him away and allow the promises of God. You see, Christians must search for and find the very promises that God has given them and really pay attention to what he has said. He has promised us his presence. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." It's complete confidence that God is going to walk with him, even through the point of death. And we can trust in that promise as well. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He is promising us that he, through his Spirit, will be with us and give us guidance and direction. And so we need to claim some of those promises as our own and really embrace what God has done. The second thing is we need to reclaim the presence of God. Reclaim the presence of God. Claim the promises, reclaim the presence. James chapter 4, verse 8 tells us to draw close to God and he will draw close to us. Get right in the presence of God and his presence comes within us as well. When difficult times come, Christians often neglect to pray. They set that aside. Or they pray not in a proper fashion. They begin to pray, "Lord, don't show me what I have done, but boy, you get even with everybody else." And that's a wrong prayer. We need to always look at ourselves as well and ask God to reveal himself and what he wants to change in us when difficult times come. There was a fellow that I was talking to who had lost his job, and he was blaming God for that. I just kind of asked him. I said, "Well, what was the particular reason? Is the company going down?" "No, the company's doing great." Okay. "Well, is there anything in your work ethic that kind of brought things down?" "No, I'm a great worker." Of course, what he wasn't saying was he only worked about 4 days a week, because one day a week he was always taking off and going here and going there, calling in sick and that kind of thing, not really faithful to his job. He didn't want to look at his unfaithfulness. He only wanted to look at his circumstance now. You know, folks, there's a lot of people that are like that anymore. They're not going to be dedicated. They're not going to be committed. Or they only want to do certain parts of what their job entails. Even as Christians, they only want to do certain things. Okay, God, I'll go to church, but boy, don't ask me to speak to somebody about their eternal destiny. Okay, God, I will do this and this and this, but boy, I'm not going to do that and that and that. And we find ourselves distancing ourselves from God. And pretty soon, we're not hearing His voice because of the clamor of our sin and our unrighteousness. And we need to get back into the very close presence of God. And so we have to reclaim His presence. That means we must repent and we must seek the comfort and the strength of God in our lives. Number three, we need to proclaim the power of God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 says this, He gives power to the faint, and to them who have no might, He increases their strength. To those who have no might, what is it in your life that makes you spiritually weak? Is there something in your life that you continually fall for? Is there the book of Hebrews calls it a besetting sin, a particular weakness that makes you have to run back to God and say, well, Lord, I did it again. I did it again. God has a solution for that. And He wants to give you power to overcome whatever weakness you might face. He wants to help you to have the strength to stand and to be righteous and to be pure and to be holy before Him and not to continually be dragged away from what God wants for you. And that becomes an important thing because our weakness becomes the area where Satan attacks us the most, and he attacks us the quickest. And he is relentless. But we don't have to be under his power, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Christ is far greater than Satan himself and than all of his angels combined. He is more powerful than all of that. And if he dwells within us, he can give us the victory through Jesus Christ. And it's important, folks, that we commit ourselves to righteous living and to holiness, and letting the Spirit of God have complete control of every area of our life. And then you know what we need to do? We need to proclaim that God is the God of grace, strength, forgiveness, cleansing, power. He is the God of righteousness. He is the God who cares about the things that touch our lives, because He is God. We need to proclaim who He is. And then the fourth thing, if we're going to be lifted out of the blues, is we need to exclaim the praises of God. We need to praise Him. Psalm 67, verses 5 and 6 says, Let all the people praise Thee, and God shall bless us. Let all the people praise Him, and God shall bless us. Have you ever noticed the people that come into the house of God, they really don't want to praise Him? In fact, most of the time, they don't even want to be there. And how they're not the ones who receive the blessing when the Spirit of God really begins to move on people. But when people come expecting to hear from God through His Word, through testimonies of individuals, through the music, however, when they come expecting to enter into worship and to really praise Him, God just kind of blesses them. And that becomes an important aspect of our life. And I want to tell you, praise is not necessarily he who yells the loudest or jumps the highest. But it is an openness of heart where we thank God and we enter into worship in an attitude of gratitude for what God has done for us, in us, and through us. So as we open ourselves up in praise, God draws close. The Psalms tells us that God inhabits the praises of His people. He dwells there. When we as a corporate body gather together in praise and worship, God draws close. And He moves in our hearts and He moves in our lives. Then when we walk out of God's house, we walk out uplifted, encouraged. We walk out ready and prepared to face whatever life has to throw at us. We need to praise Him. Thank Him for everything that He does. Claim the promises. What God has promised, we can trust in. Reclaim the presence of God. Let's draw back close to Him, and He'll draw close to us. Proclaim the power of God. Let's let people know that God has changed us through the power of Jesus Christ. And then exclaim the praises of God. Let all the people praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's stand. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this opportunity that we've had to be together here today. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will take to heart these four principles of life, that, Lord, we might be able to be powerful influences for good in Your world. Father, help us to just proclaim You from the rooftops. May everywhere we go, may the praise of the Lord rest on our hearts and flow through our lips. Father, help us to keep our heads up, our hearts open and yielded to You, our minds pure and filled with grace and dignity. And Father, help us to bring glory and honor to You. And we'll thank You for everything that is accomplished. For it's in the awesome and the holy name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Sunday school starts in a little bit here. Would love to have you come. God bless you. Have a great day.